Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24 today. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way, since indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you have laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the desires of deceit, but that you are being renewed in the spirit, that is, your mind, and have put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Lord, how we worship you and thank you in your word today. We have been singing it. The old is gone, the new has come. Lord, I know for most in the room today that is true. I pray, Lord, for anyone for whom it is not true, that they would come to that moment of new birth, trusting in Jesus for their salvation, and they would receive new life in Christ. For all of us, Lord, who know it and have it, may we have understanding of what has happened today so that we might apply it in a very real way. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in us, bringing these things to us and renewing our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can say with the Apostle Paul this morning what he says here in verse 21, you have been taught. Because certainly if you've been here with us, you've been taught these things of the book of Ephesians. Paul says in verse 21, you have been taught, and then we're moving forward today to see you have been taught three vital truths regarding your former manner of life. That is the manner of life you had before you were saved. Your identity as a being before your identity was in Jesus. What about that former manner of life? Well, you've been taught three things about it, and we're going to be looking at those three things. You have been taught tells us the you in you have been taught is plural. That is the whole church, every believer, you have been taught, and you've been taught it by Jesus himself, who is the truth. You have heard him. Verse 20:21 tells us. And you've been taught these three vital truths represented by three infinitives in Greek. One in verse 22, one in verse 23, one in verse 24. These infinitives have both an indicative and imperative force. We looked at that last time. Today, we will be looking at the indicative force. Next time, we'll look at the imperative force. Another way of saying that is, today we will look at what this means. Next time we will look at what you're going to do with it. So we need both of these. So three vital truths about your former manner of life. And the first of these three in verse 22 is the rejection of the old man. Verse 22, you have laid aside, that is the indicative way of translating this, you have laid aside the old man, or the old self. You've laid aside the old man, your old identity of who you were before you were saved. That's not who you are anymore. You've laid that aside. Now, the old man is not talking about your physical body. It's talking about your identity, who you are as a being. It's not talking about your physical body. Okay, if you're saved this morning, you do know that the moment you got saved, you didn't die physically and immediately get your glorified body, did you? I don't think so. I'm looking at you this morning. I see you. You're still in the same body that you were in before you were saved. But you are not the same person in that body that you were before you were saved. You've laid aside the old man. And that old man, we began to look at this last time, that old man is dead. Dead in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. It's already happened in your salvation. You've laid aside the old self. That's done. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And Romans 6:11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Okay, I know it sounds weird for you to say, well, yeah, okay, great. I'm going to walk around and just say it and proclaim it. I am dead. I am dead. Say, well, people will look at me funny, right? I am dead. I am dead. But do you know? It is vitally important that you know that you are and that you believe it. No, not physically dead, but in terms of your identity, who you were before you were saved, that person is dead. There's a different person in your body now. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. You can walk around saying that, right? I have been crucified with Christ. What is that? It's not your physical body. It is your identity, your person that you were before you were saved, that has been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. The old man has been laid aside. Well, then how can it be, the rest of verse 20, that old man is being corrupted presently in accordance with the desires of deceit? The old man is dead, but the old man is still being corrupted. It's decaying. And when you think of decaying, that helps you understand this. Physically, dead bodies decay. Correct? Dead bodies decay. That they're decaying doesn't mean they're still alive. It means they've died. You do know that your physical body, even after your physical body dies, there are still, for a while, electronic impulses that are going through your body. Dead bodies can twitch and move, and some reports are even a day or two after death. Say, well, man, if I saw a dead body moving, twitching, that'd freak me out. Yeah, that's the stuff that horror movies are made out of, isn't it? But it can happen. In terms of your identity, the old man, even after the old man is dead, there are still, we might call them, some kind of impulse. There is still a physical memory in your flesh that responds. That's why in your physical body, including your brain, there are still stimuli to sin. It's still there. That doesn't mean that the old man is not dead. The old man is dead. But it does mean that the memory principle is living in your physical body, which is what tempts you toward sin. Reject the old man. I am not who I was before I was saved. You got it? You are not who you were before you were saved. That needs to be so clear in your mind, and that needs to be the way you think and talk about yourself. The rejection of the old man, that's not who I am. Okay? Very important. The second vital truth in verse 23 is the renewal of the new mind. But that you are being renewed. Being renewed, that is the second of the three infinitives. So that's why we know this is the second vital truth. That you are being renewed presently in the spirit that is your mind. Let me say it again. We've said it many times now. Spirit, mind, and heart. Those three words are used interchangeably throughout the whole Bible. Your spirit is your mind. Your mind is your heart. They are the same thing. And this actually says it, in the spirit that is your mind. So in your mind, which is now a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit, you, as a believer, have the mind of Christ. You, as a believer, have the heart of God. He has placed in you a new heart. You as a believer have a new spirit inseparable from the Holy Spirit. That is who you are. But your new mind needs to be renewed continually. Why? Because the sin impulse in your flesh, that memory of the dead old man who is in you, that keeps twitching. That keeps coming up. And so your mind needs to be renewed so that you do not yield or respond to the twitching of the principle of the old man in you. Renewed. The image is something like this. You wouldn't take a dead physical body, I don't think, and strap it onto your back and walk around with it all the time, carrying it like a coat. Would you? And that dead physical body, if you were wearing it on your back, that dead physical body is decaying. And if that decaying physical body is touching you while you're carrying it, what's going to happen with that decay? It's going to spread to you. So do what? Put off that dead body. Take it off. You say, "Oh, that's a disgusting picture." Yeah. And that is the picture of what sin tries to do in the life of a believer. So take it off. Put it off. How? By renewing your mind. Your mind needs to be constantly renewed with these truths. How many times have we talked about our identity in Christ in Ephesians so far? Probably every message during the whole thing. Your identity in Christ. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I'm chosen. I'm predestined. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm filled with the riches of His grace. I have an inheritance in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit as the down payment. I'm in the body of Christ. Isn't that who you are? Now, why do you need to be reminded of that? Again and again, you say, "Well, we've been studying Ephesians. I don't need to be reminded of it again." No, you're going to need to be reminded of it probably by tomorrow. Why? Because you go out from here, you get all kinds of other things going in your life. Some of them have old man impulses attached to them. Pretty soon, it's like you've forgotten who you are. So what needs to happen? You need to renew your mind. You need to renew your mind in these things. This is by the Word of God, the renewing of your mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. Renewing your mind through the Word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Be renewed in the image of Christ who is now you. Be renewed in that. How? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The Word of God does this. And the Holy Spirit is renewing you. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration. That happened when you were born again. And renewing by the Holy Spirit. That started when you were born again, and it's still going on. The Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Every believer has the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. By Christ. So this renewing is important. It's important that you believe these things and have your mind renewed to believe them every day. Say, well, what will happen if I don't? You'll sin. You will. You'll forget, and you'll just go with the impulses instead of being renewed in your mind. Vital truth number 3. Verse 24, replacement with the new man. Verse 24, and have put on, that also, that's the third infinitive, and that's an accomplished reality, and have put on the new man. This is the new self alive in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new self. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we have been buried with him through baptism, that's identification, not water, into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. New life. Romans 6:11. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. With reference to sin, I died. With reference to new life in Christ, I'm alive. I put that on. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is no longer I who live. Say, well, you've been crucified. Yes, but I live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. New life in him. Who are we in this new life? We are everything Ephesians says we are. All the blessings, all the riches, those are all you in Christ. A new man has been created, verse 24 says. Has been created. When I was a child, even up into my teenage years, it was an ending time of socialized liberalism in churches. And what was then called the social gospel. I still remember some of those social gospel speakers saying things like this. The social gospel, we can put new clothes on a man. We can give a man a new place to live. We can give the man good food, new food. We should give the man a job. That's what the gospel is about. New clothes, a new job, good food, a nice house. That's what the gospel was about, they said. I recall at one meeting, and this happened numerous times, So some of you back in the 1950s, 1960s, remember these things. The preacher said, and the social gospel will put a new suit on the man. And this old guy in the congregation yelled out, but Jesus will put a new man in the suit, and that's better. Yeah. A new man in the suit. Not just a new house, a new person in the house. The new man has been created according with God, verse 24 says, which is by God in his likeness. God created the new man in the new birth, in your salvation. He created the new man in righteousness. In righteousness. Now, the idea of this is more than just you were saved to be righteous. The word righteousness, dikaiosune, is the same word that is translated elsewhere as justification. It's the same word. In the new man, there is the righteousness of God through justification and the imputation of Christ's righteousness. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 5:21? If anyone's in Christ, he is what? A new creature, right? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have what? Passed away. New things have come. How does that happen, and what is it? Verse 21, he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become, not just be declared, but we might become the righteousness of God in him. What happened on the cross? Jesus took your sin, right? He never sinned. He knew no sin. But he was made sin for us. He took your sin. And then what happened? An exchange occurred. He took your sin. And you received what? His righteousness. His righteousness. please note, he not only forgave you of sin, he took it. He became it on your behalf. He became what you were so that you would become what he is. That's your salvation. That's who the new man is. Created in righteousness, in justification, and created in holiness. Now, this is a different word for holiness than we usually think of. This word for holiness doesn't mean to be set apart or separated or unique. This word means piety or devotion. The new man was created for devotion to God. Since you have been saved, your nature, the new man, old nature's gone. The new nature, the new man, is to love God, to have devotion to Him. That's what holiness means here. Now, how are we righteous in righteousness and holiness? How are we those things? That is the phrase of the truth. Righteousness and holiness come from the truth. Now, you say, well, the truth of the Word of God? Well, of course. But remember what we saw back in verse 21. Truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is not only God's book. Truth is God's person. Truth is Jesus. Yeah. So how important is it that we believe these things? Reject the old man. Put him off because he's dead. Be renewed in your spirit, your mind, by the Word and the Spirit. And replace the old with the new. Replacement of the new man with the new man in Christ. I have been replaced. I've been replaced with whom? With a whole new me. That principle of replacement is vital to you living your life every day. Because if you don't believe this and renew yourself in it constantly, you won't enjoy it. You won't get it. You won't even live in it. You'll just yield to temptation and sin. And so we'll come next time to say, what do we do with this? What does this look like? And I hope you won't miss that.